Fed Talks is a weekly podcast featuring federal program staff from the Georgia Department of Education and Georgia's public schools.
For many individuals, the purpose of federally funded programs is unknown.
Through its Fed Talks series, the Georgia Department of Education is sharing more information on the ways Georgians are leveraging federal funds to serve Georgia students and Georgia schools.
This is John White.
And this is Craig Gears.
And this is Fed Talks with John and Craig.
Okay, well, welcome back, everybody. We are pleased to be back for our second series of podcasts. This time, we're going to be focusing on the Title IV Part A grant, which is Student Support and Academic Enrichment Grants. And today, we have Mr. Nate Schultz with us, who is the program manager for this grant. And a little side note that he's also our program manager for the Title IV Part B grant, which is the 21st Century Community Learning Centers grant. And hopefully we'll have an opportunity to talk with Nate more about that grant in the future. But today our focus is Title IV Part A, so let's roll right into it. Nate, how did Title IV Part A come about?
Well, first, thank you for having me. A pleasure to be here with you and John. And a little background about Title IV Part A. It is a new grant. It's what some people refer to as a block grant, which brings together several different programs under the new Every Student Succeeds Act. It has three main focuses, which include to provide students with well-rounded educational opportunities, as well as to create safe and healthy learning environments, and also to improve instruction through effective use of technology. Unlike other federal programs, it does not have a specific subgroup that it serves, but it is intended for all students to improve student academic achievement.
Nate, can I ask you a quick question? What does subgroup mean?
Subgroups refer to specific populations for federal programs, such as the migrant program would be a subgroup, or possibly English learner subgroups. They have specific focuses, or homeless students as well.
Okay, so that's just referring to a different, within the bigger population of the classroom, certain kids might have certain needs or certain supports that are given to them. That's the subgroup, right?
Right, yes.
So, you know, what's interesting about this grant is called the Student Support and Academic Enrichment Grant. Is that correct? That's a lot of words. What is the overall intent? Like, what does that mean for a person who's out there who doesn't know anything about federal programs? How would we tell them in an elevator speech what that means?
Yeah, I would think about this grant, it really ties nicely with one of the overarching and main purposes of the new ESSA law, and that's the whole child. School districts are able to leverage their funds to strategically identify their needs and use this program to help supplement some of those other academic areas to provide those well-rounded, those whole child educational opportunities through some of the additional student supports and academic enrichments beyond what they may have been able to do under previous education laws.
So let's stop for a minute and dissect that a little bit more. Right. I mean, I think we're all familiar with the term whole child. What does that mean when we're trying to focus on supports that address the needs of the whole child? It isn't like from their toes to their head in that sense, but what does it mean by whole child?
Yeah, sure, I think it goes beyond just those core academic areas that we're all familiar with, math, English, science, and social studies. We realize and research shows us that students benefit academically if we're able to provide a well-rounded education, which would include foreign language, music, physical activity, health, nutrition. STEM is a large component. Science, technology, engineering, and math is a large component of this grant. So there's many other areas during the school day that benefit students academically and enrich their learning that can be provided through this Title IV Part A grant.
Okay, that's interesting. So it kind of goes back to that old concept of the Renaissance man, the man who knows a little bit about everything, is well-rounded, and
right.
It's attempting to build that concept in our students.
So it sounds like the districts are pretty flexible in how they can use these funds. Does the money go to my kid's school, or does it go to the school district? Where does it go?
And flexibility is a great word to associate with this grant program, not only with the purposes, but in how the money is sent or delivered to the districts. Districts have the flexibility to determine if they use the funds at the district level. So if there's an initiative at the district that they wish to reserve the funds for, but they also have the opportunity to distribute the funds directly to individual schools based upon their needs, based upon the school's priorities to best serve those students.
Right. So, Craig, I think in one of our other episodes, maybe we can talk more about how the money works. Right. But I was just curious because as we were driving in today, we passed a school that said, on the marquee outside, it said Title I meeting next week. So I was just wondering, would I expect to see Title IV meeting next week when I drop my kids off?
Probably not. There isn't a specific requirement for that type of meeting for Title IV. These funds would probably help support some Title I initiatives and certainly could be braided and coordinated with Title I funding. So you may see at type of meeting that the school, the teachers would discuss how they have these new funds under a Title IV program and how they might be able to use these funds in part of some of their initiatives, you know, that they're meeting with parents to discuss how to support their students academically.
So in many ways, this grant is very similar to the other federal mm-hmm. programs, the Equitable Services, which was the topic of conversation during our last series. Is this grant required to have an Equitable Services
yes.
component?
Yes, there are several similarities with this grant in relation to other federal programs, one of which that you mentioned is the Equitable Services requirement. So districts are required to include their Title IVA funds in that consultation process okay. with the local private school officials in order to serve private school students as well.
And needs assessment, I think, is another area, right? And this one's kind of unique because it really speaks to you've got to do a needs assessment.
Correct. It is very specific in the law in terms of what the needs assessment requirements entail. And I think that one of the main reasons for that specificity is because of the flexibility with these funds and the opportunity for the districts really to strategically use the funds where there's the greatest needs. As I mentioned, the funds aren't tied to a particular subgroup and they have to only use those, they're not only limited to use those funds in a particular area, but they do have to demonstrate the rationale and the way in which their methodology for using the funds to best serve their students.
Right, so Nate, that brings up another question about when they are identifying their priorities, right? So I'm thinking about my child's school and trying to figure out what they talked about the last PTA meeting that they were talking about that they wanted to do different things, right? This money could be used to possibly fund some of those things that were identified at those meetings, correct?
Correct, yes.
Correct. So there's no specific requirement that they meet a certain need, or is there? I mean, is there a little bit more to that when the district has that flexibility you mentioned, there's still some requirements that they have to do with that, right?
Yes. And one of those requirements in that need process and that need assessment is to involve their stakeholders. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned, you know, when they have meetings, and that would be a perfect opportunity to bring together parents, families, community groups, local government representatives, even if there's a local college, university, or other organizations with developed areas of success for this particular grant.
So, Craig, that might be a time when this grant could coordinate with other colleges and universities
right.
in the area,
and I think
perhaps.
A good point is to go back to that initial point we made earlier, that this is really a grant which is for to build the whole child. Well-rounded.
Right.
And I think sometimes when we do needs assessment, we focus on, well, how can we support math, English language arts needs? But so when we think about who we're going to pull in for the needs assessment, I think we need to really be thinking out of the box and include institutions of higher ed, community organizations like YMCAs and things like that. Because,
Boys and Girls
I mean,
Clubs.
Yeah, we're talking physical education, sports, music, art. Mm-hmm. So I think this is an opportunity for that needs assessment to be very broad.
So maybe if we bring Nate back for another meeting, another discussion, you can share some more ideas about that.
Sounds good.
Well, I think that wraps up the very first in the series. I think it's a good introduction to the Title IV Part A grant. And what we'll do is we'll just pick up the next time and delve in a little bit more about the funding, how districts get their money. So please join us next time.